Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Legacy of a Nation show. I'm your host, Sun752, holding it down for our original host, Brother Mac. And tonight on the Legacy of a Nation show, what we're going to be talking about is identifying our own warriors. Identifying our own warriors. I wanted to talk about this topic tonight. I want to talk about this topic tonight because with all of the social and political stuff that's going on in today's society, I thought that we needed to take some time out to do a little house cleaning, handle a little family business, take care of a little in-house issues, some in-house issues, things like that. Because, you know, with our people have been in the struggle since forever, since the struggle was ever a word or a phrase or a concept. We've been in it. We've been fighting through this thing. We've been trying to get ahead. We've been trying to advance. We've been trying to unite. We've been trying to get free, and nothing seems to work. And I think that nothing is working on a large scale because we just don't know how to get it done. You know, so many times we speak about the ancestors and we talk about how the ancestors did these things and employed these techniques and really came together to try to get something done. However, if you look at our historical record, we don't have a lot of examples of when we were ever together and were one united front. However, it doesn't mean that just because that's not the way that it has been on a large scale doesn't mean that it can't be that way one day. And our main goal is to try to get things to the point where we can finally start to identify ourselves as friends and identify our captors, our oppressors, our enemies as the enemy. You know, there's a difference between being the opposition and being the enemy. You know, in sports or most competitive games, you play against an opposition. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're your enemy. Your enemy is somebody that you would rather eliminate rather than to have them present because you know that they would extend the same courtesy to you. Your enemies don't want to see you around. They don't want to see you doing well. They don't want to see you happy. They don't want to see you comfortable. They don't want to see you confident. They don't want to see you thriving. They don't want to see you advancing. They don't want to see you having anything good. And I think that one of the biggest problems our people have had over the years, over the decades, over the centuries, is that we have a problem identifying who our enemies are. And we also seem to have a problem identifying who our warriors are, who our friends are, who the people are who are defending us. Let me ask y'all something. Let me ask y'all something about things that I have encountered over the years. What I have encountered over the years is, you know, when you are a black person that is fighting for black liberation, often you will find yourself feeling very, very alone. Often you will find yourself in a position where you will seem like you are fighting against your own brothers and your own sisters because of the ideals that you may introduce to someone who doesn't have ears that are mature enough, or should I say, they are not consciously mature enough to understand. So if you're anything like me, whenever you have said something about the white man, like things like interracial marriage, interracial relationships, when you have something to say about that and you have something strong to say, because your opinions may be, if they're like mine, you don't believe in interracial relationships. You don't think that that's a good thing. You don't see the benefit of it. You don't see how you can fight for liberation of your people when your reflection, speaking as a man, you know, the woman that you choose to be with in your life for life is your reflection. And the reason, one of the reasons why we call her your reflection is because she's supposed to mirror She's supposed to mirror how you feel about life, because that's reproduction right there. You know, now why any man would be with a woman that he would not want to reproduce with? I mean, there can be reasons for that, but when you really think about it in terms of our future, we can't really afford it. We need to be with with women. Men and women need to be together with those who can help them to build. You know what? I'm going to use a better word, like construct, because, you know, we can build on something that's already there. But if we already have a weak foundation and we have other structures built on that weak structure, and we are seeking to build another structure, another edifice, another building on that weak structure, then we have a whole 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 block radius of buildings that are all vulnerable to sinking, cracking, breaking, and not being able to withstand the weight that these buildings that we are trying to construct on it will hold. So when we say construct something, in other words, we need to be creative enough to find something new for us to build, for someone else to take heed to, for someone else to follow as an example, something for the children to be able to mirror, copy, and be mentored by, you know, role model. So, you know, like I said, if you're anything like me, when you speak like this to some of our people, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. People will definitely listen to you, but you'll find that your brothers and sisters will become your ops. And ops is just short for opposition. So instead of saying, hey, man, you know, I understand what you're saying, we've had a lot of problems with the other man keeping us down, oppressing us, and all of that, you would hear our brothers and sisters say things like, well, you can't blame the white man for everything that we're doing, because all that slavery stuff that you're talking about happened a long time ago, and we got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and get ourselves together. We got to do what we have to do in order to advance. We can't go on what happened in the past. The past is the past, and the present is the present. And our people need to act like they know better. We know the difference between right and wrong. If you're anything like me, you have come into situations where you will encounter that type of thinking, that type of talking, and that type of opposition from your brothers and your sisters. So I thought that we should take some time out on the Legacy of a Nation show in absence of Brother Matt, as we try to reintroduce the show, to talk about identifying our true warriors. And when I say our true warriors, I'm talking about our warriors, anyone who has fought for our freedom, justice, education, and liberation from as far back as we know up until this very day on December 12th, 2020. I see that we have a caller on the line, and it looks like that's my big brother, Brother Elohim. So I'm going to bring you on the show. Brother Elohim, welcome to the Legacy of a Nation show. I appreciate you coming through, my brother. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, my famous Big Mac is on my mind right now. I want to just throw a shout out to him and wish him well out there and what's going on, you know, and let him know that we got his back, and we're going to always be here for him, you know what I mean? And give you a shout out for carrying on and keeping things rolling, you know. The topic that you picked today is a good one, because we don't know who our actual warriors are. And you're dealing with the book of Abraham, right? Abraham started off with just him and his wife and his nephew, and then when his nephew got kidnapped, he took an army to go rescue his nephew. Now, where in the world did he get an army from? The army is your children. Our children are supposed to be trained in martial arts tactics. They're supposed to be trained in military tactics. They're supposed to be trained in politics so that they'll know how to fight the war. And when you pick up the phone and you call your children for support, you got a squad coming if you trained your children properly. And when he was asked to sacrifice his child on the altar for God, well, according to the Bible, men and women are God. So he was, we've been sacrificing our children for the God that runs this world, not
right.
for our own, you know? And that's why Marcus Garvey used to say, well, where's your army? Where's your navy? We birth our armies and navies, but we don't know it. And I think that's the problem. And that's one of the problems that we're having with the children is that we're not training them to be the warriors that they are. And,
right.
That's my comment. Back to you, brother.
Well, let me ask you a little something about the word warrior, because I think that we need to take some time out to identify exactly what we mean by the word warrior. Because when you say the word warrior to a lot of people, one of the first images that are going to come to their mind, there are a few images that may come to their mind. One of the images that may come to their mind immediately, they may see an African warrior with spears or some other type of man-made weapon that may be effective. You may picture some of us with a loincloth and no shoes on and war paint on our faces and things like that. Stuff that you may see in the movie that's not totally out of line with what some of us may have looked like as warriors at one time. As time goes on, if you're a little bit more educated and progressive, you may look at a warrior as a member of the American military. You know, you may, and that may be whether you are picturing them in uniform or whether you're picturing them in fatigues out there on the front line with an M16 in their hand, fighting up against an enemy that the propaganda says is our enemy. So when we talk about warriors for our own people, we probably have to take into consideration that the fight that we have to engage in, and the war that we have to wage and have to participate in, is a war, is a mental war, is an emotional war. It's not necessarily one where people are going to lose their lives through violence, although it may be because of violence that we have to become warriors in the first place. So, you know, normally when war is waged, it's in retaliation against something, or it's a protagonist in order to get someone to do the right thing as you see it socially and politically, especially politically. So when you say warrior, when you identify warrior, Brother Elohim, what are you, you know, what is your portrayal of a warrior for our people? What is a warrior for us? What would a warrior do? Can you speak on that a little bit, brother?
Well, we're talking about most of the time when you mention war, most people see boots on the ground. But I think a warrior is anybody that's willing to give their lives for what they believe. Although we have, and this is why we have different concepts of what war is, because we have different belief systems of what we think is good for our people or for us or our family. And I think if we're going to fight for our people, we have to start with who our people actually are. Because everybody that's of the same color aren't the same people. It actually begins with your family, with your children, and from your children. Let me break this down for a second. Family is not mama, papa, baby. That's not family. That's the economic structure that you have for your tribe. And that's where your warriors begin. Your warriors begin with your tribe. Your people begin with your tribe. So what we have to do is strengthen our tribe, starting with us, our children, our family, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, and the entire diaspora. Once you get into the diaspora of your offspring, of your tribe, then you get in, it becomes a state thing, then it becomes a global thing, because your tribe reaches all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have to identify from. First, we have to come up with economics to take care of the tribe that we start. when you marry and have children, you've just started a new tribe. If you remember The Godfather, when the guy was saying, Michael Corleone, I want to start my own family. This guy's married with two children. So he wasn't talking about having babies. He was talking about an economic structure to take care of his tribe. And that's how we need to begin. And that's where your people, our people, actually begins with your tribe. And then it expands into the rest of the planet or the rest of the people. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. Well, the expectations of a warrior that we're probably going to have is that they're going to stand up to protect our liberty, protect our justice, protect us physically, protect our honor, protect the femininity of our women, protect the masculinity of our men, protect the opportunities of all of our citizens to be able to do something. You know, I want to take a second to talk about our options, and options are something that I was talking about on my show earlier today on the Daily Go Get-Emism show, but it's also something that I think that may fit into what we're talking about tonight, because when you start talking about the options that you have, you're also talking about the chances that you have. And one thing that our people are a little too familiar with is having very limited options. You know, if you listen to a lot of things in pop culture, and Brother Elohim, I know that you've done some work with some, you know, in entertainment. I know that you've worked with some singers and dancers and rappers and actors and other musicians and things like that, people in the entertainment field. And one thing that anyone in the entertainment field has to value and has to have in their arsenal are options, the opportunities. They have to have opportunities. You can be the best singer. You can be the greatest comedian. You can be the funniest comedian. You could be the greatest bass player or guitar or percussionist or a drummer or whatever. But if nobody gives you the opportunity to showcase your talent, then it's going to be a problem for you ever to make money at your craft and to show the world, you know, how well you can express yourself through that craft. Not only that, but if you listen to a lot of our rappers out here, Many of them think that the only way out of the hood, the only way out of poverty, the only way out of despair and lack of education is through entertainment. So you'll hear them say something like, you know, you either have to play ball or you have to be able to rap, sing, act or something like that. That's the only way to make it out of the hood. That's a problem for us because it leaves us really believing that the media is telling us, and you know how influenced we are by the media, but it's really making many of us believe that we only have two ways out of our condition. And the condition that we were put in from the beginning was a negative condition. It was an abusive condition. It was a poverty. It was an impoverished condition. It was a lack of education, an ignorant position. It was a lack of opportunity, a lack of the opportunity to be able to move around and see other things and experience different cultures and to open up your mind and be able to think in ways that will allow you to create more and more options. So if we think that the only way out for us is playing ball, I think Biggie Smalls said, you either sell crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. Shoot. Thinking all the way back to when he said that, he wasn't even talking about being a rapper, and he was a rapper. So one of our problems is that we really believe this kind of stuff. And since we named the show Identifying Our Warriors, it makes me think like, dang, if we have such a large segment of our youth population believing that the only way that they can make it out of the hood and also keep one foot in the hood because they want to make sure that they have street credit is to either make it out through entertainment or to make it out through selling drugs. Dag. I don't know. That doesn't sound like the type of options that I would want to have available to me. But this is something that's prevalent with a lot of our young people. So where are our warriors? Brother Elohim, let me ask you this. If you ask some of our young people, I don't know how connected you are to any young people out there, but, you know, if you ask your grandchildren or your great nieces and nephews or whatever, if you ask them who are the warriors for our people right now, who is fighting for our liberation, what kind of answers do you think that you would get right now?
Well, in most cases, I won't really actually get an answer because most of the children don't know what a warrior is. They don't know what war is, and they're not engaged in the battle for liberation or anything else. Right now, most of them are in school. They're dealing with survival. They're little games. They view games based on what they're seeing on the TV screen. So the entertainment industry has a lot to do with the visual perception or the mind, the thought process of our children, you know. And that's a problem because what they're calling heroes, most of the people that they're calling heroes are fighting for what the 1% value, not
right.
What the mass of people value.
I hear that.
When you look at Superman and Batman and all those guys, they're fighting, you know, to protect businesses, to keep the businesses safe and all that kind of stuff. Every now and then they'll come in and help somebody in a fire, but most of the time they're fighting the crooks that are stealing from the 1%. a lot of the heroes are the 1%, like Batman, he's part of the 1%. Iron Man, he's part of the 1%. So it gets a little tricky sometimes when you talk to the children about it, you know.
Yeah.
I've talked to the children about it, and the kind of answers I get is, who we fighting? You talking about Dragon Ball Z or some of the other games that they be playing? So it gets a little tricky, you know, when you're asking the children. Now, when you say children, what age are you talking about? What age are you referring to?
Well, when I said young people. So I'm thinking about anywhere from being a pre-adolescent, let's say about 13 years old, all the way up to maybe 30 years old.
Okay, so I get different answers from the 13 year old to the 17 year old. I get one type of answer. And from the 17-year-old to the, let's say, the 21, 22-year-old, I get a different type of answer. And from the 22-year-old up to forever, it depends on their belief system. So the 13-year-old, they don't have a concept of what war actually is from the 13 to 17-year-old. So they're grasping at whatever they've been implanted by from the media. And from the 17 to 22 year old, their concept of war is boots on the ground. You know what I mean? Who we gonna fight? Who we gonna shoot? Who we gonna knock off today? You know?
Right.
And from the 22 year old up, then we're really strictly into the belief system, what they believe. They believe in God, or they believe in what God they believe in, or what church they go to, what mosque they in, you know. And so we're pretty divided on what we believe as far as war is concerned, based on the answers I've been getting from the people I've talked to, you know?
I understand what you're talking about, and I feel you on that. It's a funny thing because many of our young people and even people around my age, and I just turned 50 years old this year, but plenty of my 40-somethings and 30-somethings believe that Tupac Shakur was a warrior for our people. And they honestly believe that. And I'm thinking to myself like, well, I understand that he was a rebel. He was definitely a rebel. But a warrior? I don't think so. Not even close. You know, because anybody can resist the rules and get themselves in trouble. But when I think of a warrior, I'm thinking about somebody who is trying to make a better way for somebody else by any means necessary. I have an agenda for this show. For the first half an hour of this show, I wanted to talk about what a warrior is and identifying who our friends are and who our enemies are. And we're getting pretty close to getting to the second half. On the second half, I want to talk about politics a little bit and consciousness, who our conscious warriors are. And I want to talk about, this is coming up on the second half, I want to talk about whether Trump supporters have become the new black conscious people, the new black conscious warriors. And not that I agree with that, but I see that they really believe that they are. And I think that that's interesting, because if they believe that they are the new black consciousness, then that means that anyone who doesn't support Trump is the new coon, is the new Sambo, is the new Uncle Tom, for lack of a better understanding of the Uncle Tom's Cabin story. So we're going to get into that on the second half. I think it's really interesting what you were talking about as far as a lot of today's youth not even understanding what war or warrior is, because I totally agree with that. To expound on that a little bit more, many of them may think that somebody like Kamala Harris is a warrior for our people. Not all of us think that way, but some people may think that way. And I'm interested to hear your opinion on that. Do you think that anyone who works in politics can be a warrior for our people?
Well, I think that all of the people that are in politics are warriors. And it's just a matter of who they're fighting for. When you say our people, breaks us. That's a pretty vague comment, because it depends on who you are when you say our people.
Okay.
And I think that we have a lot of warriors out here, and most of us don't know who our people actually are. When you say black people, now they're saying black and brown people. I mean, black used to be a term for those who are politically fighting for freedom, justice, and equality. Now,
you
mentioned the Trump supporters. Most, when you said black Trump supporters, I'm a little confused. You're going to have to break that down into what you mean by Trump supporters being fighting for black liberation when they're fighting for slavery, fighting for not equality, fighting for themselves to be above the norm and everybody else to be below the norm, as far as my understanding of the Trump mindset, you know? So could you break that down a little bit, what you mean by what you meant by the statement you made? Because I'm a little confused there.
Absolutely. First of all, I've unfortunately been exposed to a lot of black Trump supporters over the past couple of years. And they believe that they are the new conscious individuals. And they also believe that Donald Trump is on the side of black people. They believe that he is working towards helping us. They believe that he is not racist, and they believe that he actually understands us. If you remember when we had Brother Will.i.am on the show, you know, last month.
He's a Trump supporter.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, actually, that was 2 months ago. That was in October, and he remember what he said. He believed that Trump was the good guy. He believed that he just wanted everybody to have, he just wanted all black people to have their individual businesses and be able to thrive economically. And he didn't have any problem. He didn't seem or express to have any problem with any of his policies, any of his practices, or any of the ways that he influenced us. So he's only one of the examples of people that I know who feel that way. many of our people who are Trump supporters believe that Trump is telling the truth. They believe that he has exposed the media. They believe that the media really does demonize him, and they misrepresent and misquote and misreport him. And they also believe that when it all comes down to it, he has black interests at heart and in mind more than any other politicians out there. And that's why the media hates Trump, and that's why the ignorant are sheep, because they think that we're sheeple. They believe that that's why we don't like Trump, because we don't understand. So they believe that by supporting Trump, they actually believe that they are going against the white man, many of them. I've heard them say it. I'm thinking like, well, how can he be the leader of your movement, but you going against the white man? But and they'll say because he's not like other white men. He's not an ass kisser. He's not a conformist, and he's not just toeing the line. It's very interesting, Brother Elohim. Extremely interesting. And I don't mean that in no good way, but nonetheless, this is what we're working with. So many of our black brothers and sisters who follow Trump, and I mean they follow him heavily. I mean they aren't just people who think that he's okay. They actually you know push his agenda, and they push for him to be president. They believe that the election was stolen from him. They believe that only stupid black people voted for him, you know, that kind of thing. But they also believe that because of them following him, they also believe that they can't believe anything that the mainstream media has to say. A part of me understands why when it comes to that, but the way that they present it, nah. You know, I mean, information is information. You still have to be able to think. So they're more of the YouTube education crowd. So they'll believe almost anything that they see in a YouTube video, but absolutely nothing of what they see or hear reported by ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, or MSNBC, CNN, you know, stations like that. So they believe that they are the new consciousness. They believe that the way to liberation is through, I don't know, like flat earth stuff. There's a lot to it, brother. There's a whole lot to it. But they believe that they are the new conscious black people. Many of them, you'll probably not be surprised to find out, many of them aren't really on that black shit. Many of them don't. You know, like, I mean, you know, brother Will I Am is my brother, and I appreciate him, and he has taught me a lot of things. But when you listen to him, you have to kind of admit that he speaks in terms of himself a lot, not necessarily us. That's not the way. Well, so, you know.
Well, I think that the struggle actually starts with the I. So, because if I'm not there, you can't say we're there. You know what I'm saying? And when we listen to the Trump supporters, their eye is in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. So they're not a part of the, they're not really a part of the conscious community. They're part of the unconscious doggy dog community. Our culture is reap what you sow, which is science. We're supposed to be dealing with facts. And if mm-hmm. you running with a lot of people that's not actually dealing with facts, and people could tell them anything. Like I am, he just threw the statement out there that that you can die from monoxide poison from wearing a mask. Well, there's no evidence to support that. There's no scientific proof to support that. And this is right. What Trump has been doing, throwing information there with no evidence, no facts, no scientific validity to it, and people just believing it because he said it. So your belief system, like I said, it depends on who you are and what culture, because there's only two cultures, even though they try to relate culture to dance and all that, but it's not. You have the doggy dog culture and the read what you sow culture. And the doggy dog culture is, that's the culture that Trump is under. They'll lie, cheat, they'll take what they want, and that's how they see it. The Rework Your Soul culture is different. There's the scientific community. You have to have some type of facts, some type of facts to substantiate what you're saying. And this is the problem I have with the Darwinian people, because there's no real facts to support Darwinism. That's why they don't call it the facts of Darwinism. They call it the theory of Darwinism, because there's no facts to support that. So the so-called conscious community that they're talking about is actually unconscious. They're not conscious at all. Anytime they believe the lies that this man is spewing out of his mouth, you know. But this is what we're up against. That's what you were talking about earlier. We're up against people who think they're conscious but are not conscious, and they're mad about the conscious community because they want everybody to be as unconscious as they are. And although people have knowledge about certain systems and stuff, but it gets pretty complicated when you're talking about uniting a group of people for a single thought process or for a single for a battle to go against something for themselves, when they don't know who themselves actually are. Anytime you're fighting for a guy like Trump, who's definitely a racist. He's not a good person. He's an evil, no good man, you know? And it's a shame that they can't see that, you know? And that's my problem, what they can see. What they can see is they can't see. They don't have eyes. I mean, they're looking at something and don't even know what it is. You know, they look at this miserable man and don't know what he is, you know? And that's my problem with the whole thing. I was just confused when you said that Trump supporters think that they're the new black consciousness. They're not conscious at all. If you ask me, they're not conscious at all. You know, they don't know what consciousness is, as far as I'm concerned. What are your thoughts on people and how they understand consciousness? What are your thoughts on consciousness? What do you mean by consciousness?
Well, to be conscious just means to be awake, aware. It means to be alert. So anybody can be conscious. White people can be conscious. You know, anybody can be conscious. But when we talk about black consciousness, you're talking about being aware of your condition. And many of us are just not aware of our condition. You can tell by the way that we conduct ourselves. You know, like when you hear some of us talk about, you know, like when we say things like, there's no race except for the human race, you know, shit like that. You know, like or color doesn't matter, or you know, like, you know, stuff like that. And there's some people who think that they are exempt from racism, you know, stuff like that. So when you start talking about black consciousness and you start talking about being aware of our condition, even if you are aware of our condition without the notion or the compulsion to do anything about that condition, it still makes you aware of the threat that is against you. If you lack consciousness, that means that you don't see how, first of all, you don't see an enemy. You don't see any opposition. You probably think that many of our problems, or all of our problems, are of our own creation. You know, we have a big problem with many of us thinking that our problems are of our own creation. You know, all of that stuff that happened back in the day happened back in the day. But today is today, and we know better than that, and they'll even try to pigeonhole you into agreeing with them by saying things like, didn't your mom and your dad teach you right and wrong? Well, of course you're going to say yes. Then if your parents taught you the difference between right and wrong and you followed that, then why would you let somebody else get away with the excuse when you know their mother and their father taught them right and wrong? Well, I don't know that everybody's mother and father taught them right and wrong. I don't know that everybody's mother and father knows the difference between right and wrong. Our right and wrong seems to be a little bit different from other people in other cultures' right and wrong, because we have a lot more at stake. We are a different type of culture, which is more like a counterculture, to deal with. So we have to deal with being maligned from our day of conception. From the time that the sperm fertilizes the egg, we already know it's a long road ahead, brother or sister. It ain't going to be sweet. Other cultures don't necessarily have it like that. even African cultures. It ain't like that. You understand what I'm saying? We're prisoners in our own. We're prisoners in our own land. We, you know, there's just a lot that goes into it. So, and the media influence that just engulfs our psyche. We can't get out of that TV, radio, internet mentality. And many of us who so-called get away from that mentality still don't get it because we think that we can be free by ourselves. How are you going to be free and you ain't nobody else around you? What use is freedom if you are in isolation? Or what use is freedom when you have no protection? That don't sound like freedom to me, but many of us aren't conditioned to think that way. But there's so much more to this whole thing, you know.
When we talk about freedom, that's the biggest problem of all, because most of us don't actually know what freedom is. Freedom means control, and when you look around and see what you're in control of, that will tell you what type of freedom you have. We're not controlling nothing in this society, so we have to because we're trustees of the government, and that allows us to have the right to vote, to vote in the trust managers, to manage the system based on the trust instrument, which is the Constitution. We have some limited control as to what the people that are managing the government are doing. Like we fired Trump. We literally fired the man, you know. So that lets us know that the black people who are following Trump aren't a majority. They're a small minority of us. It's just that their conscious understanding of what's going on is so outrageous that we remember these guys and what they'd be saying, you know. Because we're saying, I have to take a double take. You say, what? You believe what? You know, and sometimes it boggles my imagination that they think the way that they do, that they believe the way that they do. But by the same token, I watch that on the TV sometimes, trying to keep in touch with the so-called conscious community. And they're arguing, defending Darwinism. And I'm saying to myself, what is wrong with these children? I mean, they bring up all this here stuff in reference to Darwin, in reference to evolution, Pithecus man, and all these here stuff that they just made up, stuff that's not true at all. If you have a bridge and part of the bridge is missing, you can't cross the bridge, connect the dots. And if you have a Darwinism and there's a missing link, you can't connect it. That's why they keep saying theory and not fact. So.
Right.
Our children have to get used to dealing with their natural culture, which is science. Science didn't come from the European. Science come out of the continent of Africa. And so all science, the scientific endeavor, reap what you sow is science. If you sow two chemicals together, you're going to reap a reaction. You put mathematics on it to control the reaction. That's the basis of all science. You know what I mean? And that's where it comes from. So there's a lot of waking up that we have to do. I consider you to be pretty conscious. and your thought process is pretty good. I mentioned it a couple of times, you know. But a lot of people's process is just thrown off, you know. And most of it comes from how their parents started them off. And a lot of them never get over what the parents gave them. They never rise above the level of teachings that they got from the parents, because they don't realize that they're actually smarter than the parents. The parents just have more experience. But most of the children are smarter than the parents. So they have to let go of a lot of stuff that the parents gave them and move beyond it. But that's a hard pill to swallow, you know what I mean? So we have to credit the parent for helping the 1% dumb down our children, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to run here, but we have a lot to atone for. We have a lot to wake up for. And freedom means control. And this is what they don't understand. They don't understand what freedom is, you know?
Now, when you say freedom stands for control, control of what?
Everything. Control of the food you eat, from the children to go to school, what the education is, control of the property, the houses, the land, control over everything. That's what I'm, when you can control the 1%, they experience some freedom, but there's some things they don't have control over too. But when you look at your life and you say, now what actually do I have control over? That will tell you the extent of how free you are. So what do you have control over? I'm asking you the question now. What do you have control over?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people believe that they have control over their destiny, and they think that they have control over their freedom of movement and their direction, and even control over the way that they think. I don't know about you, but I've talked to a lot of people who will tell me in an instant that they control what they think and what they think and how they think and all of their thought processes. You know, I mean, I guess it's like some type of grandstanding badge of honor to believe that you have come into this new wave of consciousness all by yourself and all on your own. But everything comes from something else. If you just believe in the theory of creation, and I mean, a baby doesn't just happen to come out on the street. You know, I mean, think about it. If the sperm didn't fertilize the egg, and then the egg incubates inside of the womb for 9 months, 39 weeks, whatever once comes faster, then do you think that a baby would choose a hospital to be born in? Yeah, I'm just saying. So when you even though that sounds condescending, when you just think about the creation of something, one thought comes from another thought. Even if the thought that you're thinking now comes from something that you said before, you're gonna come up with new thought based on the success of what you felt like your previous thoughts were. You know, so when people don't understand that and they think that you're trying to diss them or something like that, they think that because you may question their thought process or something that they said or the way that they feel about things, if you investigate that and ask them for some clarity about it, a lot of times they'll take issue to it and pretty much tell you that they control the way that they think. And just because you don't feel the way that they feel, it doesn't mean that it's not right. And even if it's not all the way right for anybody else, it's right for them. Many of our people are not able to think in terms of ourselves. You know, Brother Elohim, have you ever heard this term? Have you ever heard any of our people say things like, well, ain't no white person ever done nothing to me. Only people that have ever robbed from me, only people that have ever hurt me have been my own people. Have you ever heard any of us say that?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think? What are you thinking when you hear someone say that?
Well, I know that this person is not conscious, so I don't try to get into too big a dialogue with them because I know they just don't know. So people that are waking up and people that are still asleep. And like what Jesus used to say, that those who have ears hear and that those who have eyes see. And when you run into a person asleep, you can drop a couple of tidbits to try to wake them up. But to get into a long dialogue with them, it's actually fruitless because they're asleep. And some people will actually fight you to keep you from waking them up because they're so comfortable. You know, some people be in REM sleep, boy. You really have to be careful who you're talking to and who you're dealing with based on what they're saying out of their face. Because it could get ugly just saying the wrong thing, trying to wake them up. it could get ugly because they don't, like, they'll literally fight you to stay where they are, you know? So,
yeah.
Right now in this country, we're not controlling our own thought process. And the 1% like it like that. That's why, and you hear the church preachers say, God is in control. They don't want you to think that you're in control of nothing.
That's right.
So they want to make sure that you understand you don't control nothing, so somebody else is in control. So you have to constantly, my phone is getting ready to die. So you have to constantly look, you know, you have to constantly adhere to those that are in control, you know.
Right.
And you have to have the thought process that you don't control nothing. But unless you begin to fight for control over things, then you don't have no freedom. So I think that begins with politics and religion, which is things that people don't talk about too much.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to begin dialoguing about religion and politics, because those are the two things that are controlling our belief system and controlling the money, how we work, what the kind of jobs we get, and controlling everything, you know. So we don't even have to wake up a smell of coffee. We have to start drinking it.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
I really appreciate you coming through. You know, if your phone is dying and you have to go, I just want to thank you for coming through and giving us the benefit of your experience and of your wisdom and your consciousness. Because, I mean, these are just the things. These are just, you know, not even scratching the surface of the many issues that pervade our society as Black people, because, you know, we have a long way to go. And every time we think that we're getting close to breaking ground on trying to build something on this weak foundation of consciousness that we have, you know, something comes along and shows us that, man, we have so far to go. We have so many obstacles to overcome, and we have such a great task ahead of us. But everything starts at one. Every single thing in the world starts at one. And if we can get on the track to at least starting at one, instead of saying I'll start tomorrow, then we can probably get there. Well, I'm sure we can. You know?
I agree with you 100%, and hopefully you can stay on the air and keep the awareness going that your dad started, because we need to be made more aware of what's going on and what's happening. And I've been looking for you the last couple of Saturdays.
Yeah.
So I'll be here on Saturday with you, and hopefully that we can untangle some of this mess. Make people a little bit more aware of what's going on around us, you know. I'm Elohim from Elohim Speaks on Sunday, 8:00. My calling number is 516-453-9230. And I want to take my hat off again to Legacy of a Nation, to Sons of Our Two, for keeping the fire lit, keeping everything going. And my phone is going to cut off, but I will be here every Saturday with you to support you, and I appreciate what you're doing. Keep up the good work, brother.
I appreciate you too, and I'm going to come check you out tomorrow night. So thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir.
All right. So yeah, as we soldier on, that was Brother Elohim coming down to hold the fort down with me on this episode of Legacy of a Nation. We're going to keep doing this. You know, we've been absent. It's been about at the very least 3 weeks since we've done a show, but it may be a whole four. But we're going to, I meant to start it back up last week, but I'm going to hold it down. Brother Mac has been under the weather, but we're going to hold it down for him and keep it in step, because I know he would want it that way, and we're going to keep it that way. So until he's strong and healthy enough to come back, we're going to do the right thing. And hopefully we can make him proud and make ourselves proud in the process. So, yeah, tonight we've been talking about identifying who our warriors are. And in order for us to understand who our warriors are, what we're talking about is trying to make sure that we understand, identify, and can recognize who the people are who are fighting for our liberation, fighting for our freedom, fighting for our comfortability, fighting for our our right to be to be able to move around freely and not have violence, random violence perpetrated against us and upon us. For they're fighting for our economic freedom, for our ability to be able to make as much money as we need to make or want to make, and to be able to feed our families, to be able to educate our families, to be able to enlighten our families and have our families thrive and reproduce, turn over, and do great things over and over and over again. We as a people have always been amongst the greatest in every area of field of study or in any trade that you can think of. Whether you're talking about sports, whether you're talking about business, whether you're talking about trades, whether you're talking about school, anything, the black man or the black woman is always number one. Always. Number one. However, you know, is like number one, and then the one after us is probably like 100. So there's a disparity. There's a disparity. There's definitely proof that we can be the best. But there's also proof that there won't be enough of us to make the impact enough to make the way we are the law. So we need to strive each and every day to become the power of the 1%, even though we may embody 25, 50, whatever the case may be. We need to climb out of that hole of always being disproportionately present in our prisons, in our with lack of education, with our economic situation, and on welfare, all of those crazy, being sick. You know what I mean? This COVID-19 situation, you know, we're number one of those who are likely to catch it and likely to die from it. But we can do better than that, and we must. But we also need to know who and which of our people are trying to lead us towards that liberation, lead us toward being the better one, the best one. And which ones are trying to pull us down or just trying to toe the line and be the status quo. I want to thank all of you for coming through and checking out the Legacy of a Nation show tonight. I appreciate y'all. Like I say on the daily, go get a minute in Urban Therapy with Son. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all and love y'all right back to life. Yeah, I'm saying. So that's how I go. We're going to get on up out of here. I want to say peace and love to my dad, Brother Mac. Get well soon. Get stronger even sooner. And you do the damn thing, but I'm going to hold it down for you for however long it takes. So no more weekends off. No more weekends off. No. So I'm going to holler at y'all later. Y'all have a great night. Be careful out there. If you're going out there visiting family or if you're just shopping, spending all that money that you should be saving right now. Please be careful out there, brothers and sisters. We don't need it. If our nation isn't healthy, then our nation isn't worthy. We're not worthy. We're not. All right. This is a legacy of a nation. This ain't to do. On behalf of Brother Mac, Son 752, and Legacy of a Nation Worldwide Independent, worldwide, internationally, and universally, we leave you with peace. Peace. Like all the way peace until this thing drops off. Like, you know, it's like kind of lunching. So, okay, then.